Hi, everybody. My name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Could we all start with the serenity prayer this evening? God,
grant me serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, I'd like to start everybody by identifying who they are, and let's start right over here again.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Susan.
I'm Dave, an alcoholic.
Hi, Dave.
I'm Cindy, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
I'm Bob, an alcoholic.
Hi, Bob.
I'm Pat, an alcoholic.
Hi, Pat.
I'm Gail, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Gail.
I'm Mary Lou, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mary Lou.
I'm Jack Bradder, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jack.
I'm Ron, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ron.
I'm Lyle, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lyle.
Okay, here we find ourselves again on our Tuesday night step study with Bob Anderson. So let's turn it over to Bob.
Yeah, okay. You know, we were talking, got into three, and I think it's so important on three to be able to understand just exactly what a daily living part of an application of my life as an alcoholic with three, when I made a decision to turn my life and will over to the care of God, as I understood it, when it was more like, now I'm not talking about it in the beginning when I had to find this power because I had no God or anything. I don't mean that. What I mean, what I'm talking about is trying to find how the application of that step applies to the daily living life as I'm going along with sobriety. So that it becomes important to me to be able to have the results of that. Because it was so easy for me to say the words, and it was awful easy to do the prayer. It was real easy. And the impact of it was never strong enough or great enough in my life so that I would be awake with it 24 hours a day, or all my wakeful hours anyway, that of what it really means. So I believe that for any alcoholic, if you're like me, you have to have some kind of a reminder or some kind of a importance placed on step three to where it becomes a part of your daily living life as an alcoholic, so that the steps become a part of your life to be able to apply and work and use them for what reason they're there for. Because I found myself so many times, I'd get in the car and leave the house, sometimes in a hurry, sometimes mad, sometimes happy, sometimes I just got through praying to God. Man, I'm telling you, I lose it just at a short distance away, you know. And when I lost it, I would be I was aware of it. But I was not aware of what it was I lost. I didn't realize what I really was doing, see, until after I was caught up in it, and after I got so deep in it that I had to turn it loose. I had to get away from it because it was destroying my whole day. And sometimes the days got into more than one day. And it was strictly, I never once realized what an unmanageable life was. Being sober at Alcoholics Anonymous. Going to meetings and doing steps and not know that I was living an unmanageable life because I was still trying to do everything myself. Even when I said I prayed to God. Even when I said that, I tell you that. And it was true, I did. But I did not allow God to be the power of my life to live and to work the steps by or to live by. See? So that's why I think that for most alcoholics, I worked with hundreds of alcoholics, men and women alcoholics, I mean this, that had the same problem that I had in the steps of not being able to hang on to the power of God's power. To be able to do the things that were necessary. And then they had days that sometimes they went and got drunk, sometimes they didn't get drunk, but they had the days like I had where they were all mixed up. I was upside down. And it was only because of I made a decision to turn my life over to the care of God, but I took it back. So I didn't use that. That wasn't a big step in my life. It wasn't something that was a basis of my foundation of my sobriety or my steps or the program or something like that. I would always tell everybody that I pray to God. I pray to God all the time. So that was my way of copping out. That was my way of excusing myself and not doing what I should, and I knew and I was aware of, you Because after I'd done that, he said I'd go to God. I used God like the book said, picture. I used God when I got in trouble. I used God when it was necessary to use God. I didn't use God when things were right in front of me and they were just beautiful. I did not use them. I did not use his power then. So that's why, like, in three now, I believe that when you do three as an alcoholic, with a brain that's full of alcoholism, that's really alive, really there all the time, it's on instant recall, I know that. For me it is. But all I have to have is the power of God from God, and then I don't have to display the alcoholism. I don't have untreated alcoholism. Years ago, it's very obvious for anybody to look at me to say, man, there's untreated alcoholism, you know, because I was driving a car that way, I was talking that way, I was living that way, and I was sober. And I did no steps. I had a sponsor. I went to meetings. I read the book. I got on my knees. I did all things. But I did not allow God to be the power to push me through the day, to make me or be with me or have it happen to me. And so that it became so important for me to stay there with him. And the way I did that is like I told you before, by the watch, by acknowledging, by looking for his power, his direction, his everything, always his, not mine. What is it he wants me to see? What is it he wants me to do? With that kind of an attitude, as soon as I got that attitude where it was alive, I woke up with it, I went to bed with it, I talked to God about it, I used it as a power for me to stay well in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I had it, that I was the man. And the book, you know, the book is so, like here in the agnostic, see, I was a true agnostic. I didn't know what an agnostic was. And I found out that an agnostic is an ignorant or an uninformed person. And I was both, that it fit me well. Because it says in here, it's that on one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than themselves. This power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. A celebrated American statesman puts it, let's look at the record. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power, and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their ways of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Once confused and baffled by a seeming futility of existence, they showed the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. They, leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. See, that's what happened to me, exactly what happened to me. 2.5 years. And I was sober. 2.5 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my life then was very unsatisfactory. I was sober, I had a GI house, I was working, I had some money in my pocket, I had a new car, I had a wife, everything was going great. But I couldn't see it because I was so shook up inside. I missed the boat, I knew it, you know. And that's when it happened to me, just like it says in here in the book. And that's why step three for is so very important for you, for me to let you know the best that I could about what it is that you have to do as an alcoholic to be able to survive or to be able to have all of the promises or to be able to have the life that God says you can have here in Alcoholics Anonymous. So then, I don't know how important it is or how much it means to you, what the words say, how you do it. You know, it's always a personal God and a personal thing. And I know that you're sober today and everything else. But if you get lost, or if you lose, or if you're in doubts, or if you're not sure of yourself, if you think that you're not going fast enough, or if you think that your life is maybe too heavy, or you're not getting enough rewards, or anything like that, these were things that bugged me. These were things that bothered me. These were things that I could not get any sponsor to answer for me. I couldn't get it at meetings. I couldn't get it anywhere else because it was an inner something inside that I knew had to be right, but I didn't know how to make it right or how to make it happen. And I thought I always did everything, you know, and I find out that isn't the way it works at all. The moment I started using my God as a power to wake up in the morning with and go to bed with. That means all day long now, I'm going to associate my head, my brains. I'm going to share everything that's going on in my life with God. I'm going to talk to Him. I'm going to praise Him. Thank Him when I recognize things. I'm going to use God as everything that I'm going to do this day. He's going to be with me. He's going to be a partner in my life today. The minute I do that, I don't have troubles. I don't have the great fears, the fears we were talking about a minute ago. I don't have them things. But I lost them in this process of the steps with God. I didn't lose them in three. I didn't lose them fears there because I didn't know about how great they were or what they were even sometimes. But I found the way of doing steps so that the life that's there for me because of God and His power was in my life to do the actual things in the daily living life that came and went. When I was by myself, thinking in terms that I pray to God, I could not do these things. I was sober, but I could not do these things that were necessary for me to do. I couldn't accomplish anything. The minute that I went and did what I'm doing now, and have been doing for some years now, that kind of thinking, that kind of life left me. Now, everything else, don't get me wrong, it's not utopia, it's not Shangri-La or nothing like that, I know that. We're going to get older, we're going to have bills, and we're going to have lawsuits, and divorces, and deaths, and everything else. I understand that, see? And it's part of my life, I know that. But they're not things that have to destroy me because of me. They're not. They don't. I don't like them, I don't understand them sometimes, they're hard to accept, they're hard to look at sometimes. But with the feeling inside that I got, a personal feeling with God, so just like the book tells me, the same way, I'm all right. I'm going to be all right. I'm all right. When the end of the day comes, I've got another good day. But only because God says so, not because I do. So this is step three to me. This is very, 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 so very strong in my life to let you know that if you go into four, and you don't have a personal God, a relationship with a power greater than yourself, something going for you other than you, as an alcoholic, you're not going to have that success. I know you. And the book is very explicit. Bottom page 83 starts, and that's in step 9. The 12th step says it too, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. All of this stuff we're talking about now, from 3, has to be so important to you, like it's important to me. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to do it. I just don't know. As an alcoholic, I had money, I had everything going for me, and I couldn't make nothing happen. I'd go to the store to buy something that was, they were sold out, like a fishing reel. I'd lose my brains. I'd call a guy all kinds of names. I'd get mad at a hornet. He ruined my whole goddamn day. I couldn't buy that damn reel. You know. The basis of my thinking and my life and everything else was I was caught up with alcoholism, with self. I didn't know. I didn't know how to turn around and walk away from anything and let God handle it. Not to say a word. Not to think a thought. Didn't know how to do that. I know how to do that today. It's mine only because God says I can have it. This is step 3. This is the application of 3 is for an alcoholic. Make a decision to turn his life into that one, the fear of God. Then from there, man, you can go in the steps, and I'll tell you, you've got a hold of something now, that's step 4, that is no big deal. That's no big job to do. It's something you don't like to look at, maybe something you like to think about. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But one thing for sure, you can go through it. And the character change that takes place in you will happen. All things will be yours because God says so. You want to talk on 3? You want to go before you go into 4 or anything like that? Or you want to wait for anything like that? Anybody got any problem with that? Or judge it?
Well, I'm trying to understand it better, Bob, because I hear the words, but when I think, all right, now how do I do this? You know, to me, it's like trying to develop a mechanical skill, and I have the mechanical dexterity of a retired goldfish.
Right.
And so it's hard for me to operate a telephone. It hasn't been my problem, but I've seen in a lot of meetings, and I was conscious of it because particularly about the 4-step, because we were discussing it in our morning meeting yesterday. that some people describe what an agonizing process it is to face the fourth step. And the gal who was leading the meeting, had said that she was within a month of her birthday, and her sponsor had said, you can't take a birthday cake because you haven't done your fourth step. And, you know, it was like pulling teeth. And I wonder, is that the result of not doing the third step in the way you're talking about?
Right. That's why I'm trying to impress it upon you. You're real right about that. Because in the beginning, I had a sponsor who was a man of God. Talked to God, and it was a man that always was with God. And the attraction was tremendous to me, you know. And I had no God. I had no prayer. I never gave a desperation prayer to no God at no time before Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew no God. Never with no God. So I get into AA, and things were going along, and I was not having any success in my life with the recovery program, the 12 steps of God, see. Now, I found God 2.5 years in AA when I was sober, and I had to go to God. But what Jack's talking about now was the fact that I tried real hard to do the steps. I really did. I had a sponsor that was really a stepman, a true man of God. I would listen to him. I would read the book. I would go to meetings, and I would hear you. And I would try to apply what I thought was the application of steps in my life. As I read them, as I heard them from you, in association with you and everything else, what you said, what you did. And I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was acting just like I was when I was drunk. I drove that car the same way. I said the same words to my wife. Thought the same, acted the same, did the same, and no character change took place in me whatsoever. I was trying to do it by my power, my way, and my time. The minute that I went to God, truly went to Him, knowing not of God, knowing not how to do it, how to say it, or anything else, all things happened. I was on my way, and I knew it. I had a hold of something. This was like a rocket. It was going. It was mine, belonged to me, and it was real. It belonged to me. I didn't have it all the time. I lost it, like I said, lots of times. But my success then, success to me meant only the fact that the days came and went, and they were good days. They were happy days. Days that I appreciate. Days that I acknowledge differently. And this here is what I mean right now. See, is how important it is, Jack, for somebody to, alcoholics, to understand what it is you do in steps as an application so that you could do the fourth step and the fifth and so on right down the line. That you will have the power to do it. The book says so. Absolutely says so. Yeah.
I've noticed that after our get-togethers the following day, I'm really heavy into trying to think about God and turning it over. And for periods of time during that day, I get some really spectacular results that are certainly quantifiably different than the norm. But they're glimpses. They don't last long. And on the other days when I try, I don't get much of anything. I get a skateboard rather than a rocket.
Well, that's why, like right now, what we're talking about now, what we're talking about is how important it is, I believe, me, personally. I told you before, I'm no expert on these steps. I'm no expert on AA or anything like that. But I am an expert on what happened to me because of this. How it turned me around. Whether that's an attraction to you or not is not important at all. What is important, though, is to be able to have something now that you could try. Maybe a little different. Maybe more often. Maybe coming in from another door or something like that. To see what it would do for you. If it done anything for you, keep it. If it doesn't, try for more. Just keep going. That's what I did. I'd hear guys and gals talk. And, you know, and I had problems with personalities, too, you know, and they would tell me wonderful things, and I wouldn't listen to them because they didn't like them, for some dumb reason, you know. And here they are, they're trying to save my life, you know. They really are. They're sincere, you know. And I would shut them down, you know. I'd just pull the curtain on them. So that was because my power was my God. That was because I was doing my same old thing that I knew how to do from the years before. I was trying to propel and use my own power to live in this world, make the steps happen, to have the life and have the things, and then claim that I prayed to God. But I never allowed Him to work in my life. That's what I'm trying to tell you about three. So that Because how many times, I don't know for you, for me, how many times I've tried to make a situation better, to make somebody happier, right? If I had that as a motive in my head from me, I never could do it. It wouldn't come out right. It just wouldn't happen. But all I have to do is try to live daily, looking and seeing whatever it is I'm supposed to see through God's eyes. That means His power. That means that I'm being with Him. I'm sharing my life with Him today, using Him as a force. I don't have to single things out. I don't have trouble with people. I don't have trouble trying to make you like me or make you see me differently. I don't have them kind of problems because they're not in my life to use. I don't think that way. Before, I used to have to think different all the time because I was behind me. So this step three business of trying to be able to keep alive the whole day you're alive in your life is what I'm trying to tell you. The force or the way to do it, like what I said, I started out with a watch, and then I started out knowing that if I didn't talk to him, if I didn't keep him alive, I lose him. I walk away from him. He don't walk away from me because he's always on instant recall. I'm not on instant recall. I have to get in trouble, then I get on recall. I have to walk in and then all of a sudden realize that I'm talking funny again. You know, I'm starting to use language and thoughts that are disturbing. I know they are. It's for me they are. And there's only one reason. I'm doing it again. I'm walking along again. I'm using my yardstick again. Judging my life again. Seeing things that I don't like. This is step three.
I have the same experience kind of that Mike did. After you talked about the watch and the time clock, I work in an office on computer health phones, and their phones ring all day long, so I decided that was going to be my reminder. When the phone rang, or my phone rang, that was going to be my reminder to make conscious contact or to stay close, and that worked fine Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Saturday I worked too, but the phones didn't ring a whole lot, so Saturday went. Sunday was horrible. But I was away from the phone, and I was home, and that's where I lose my serenity with my daughter faster than any place else. And, it works so good out, away from home. And it was because I was back in the mismanagement, and it's what you're just talking about, trying to make them happy or doing something for them, and I wanted them to do it my way because that was going to make everything all better. And we had plans for the whole family for the day, and you try to get four girls and their assorted friends together. And I know well enough to let it alone, to let it go. And I really got just caught up in that management and doing it my way Sunday, and it was just really miserable. And I thought about it Sunday evening, like, I needed the phone to ring. I said to my Monday night group last night, you all need to call me every 5 minutes. So the phone rings, and I still called.
I got there's a baby I have in Denver. The reason why I think of him is because I was working with him, and I used the watch, for me. And so he was hung doors on all of these trucks, houses and all that, So he associated doors with guns. In other words, every time he seen a door, hung a door, looked at the door, talked to the door, he thought of guns, And he started, he just tried it. The first day he tried it, that night I met him at the club there, the Atlanta Club. And he was stepping high. Oh, God, you want to see him then. He went the whole day without swearing, without cussing these guys out, the waivers that he had working for him and all that. And he had such a quiet day, a good day, that he just couldn't believe it. And all he did was talk to doors all day long, And I just thought that was terrific. And he would pick a door. He did that. I didn't. I didn't even know what he would do, But he made the doors relationship to stay where he belongs. That was something, really something. Anyway, we got three. But the reason why, like I said again, is about the steps. I thought at 2.5 years in AA, and I've been and I lived the Alcoholics Anonymous program as far as meetings. I went to many, many meetings, more than one a day, for 2.5 years. I was sober. I did all kinds. I had all kinds of babies, taking them here and there, and so forth. But I was still the same man. I was really deep down inside, I was really hurt. I was hurt and terrible. And I was always afraid to ask another man first, or tell another man how I felt. I was always afraid that they might find out who the hell I was, as far as my feelings and everything else. I was so ashamed of myself for 2.5 years, and I've had feelings inside that I wouldn't tell anybody about, that I couldn't tell another man that I was hurting that bad, that I needed help. So that was real tough for me. And I thought that everything I did made me yell, made me less a man, you know, stuff like that. I had a hell of a time. But the moment I went where I belonged, I was all right. So this is what I'm telling you now. So step three is so important so that you'll survive as an alcoholic like I have. Otherwise, I don't think you can. I don't believe you can. I don't think you can stay in Alcoholics Anonymous sober for too long a time without it. If you want to talk about three or know a little more about it before we get off, because step four is pretty quick, I think, four and five, I believe. Because the inventory, most have been around a while, the inventories are defects of character. I think all you have to do is find out what defects of character are and what they really are so that you can put them down. So if you want, well, don't want to talk about three at all, or go to four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
do you think then that, I have two questions, that do you think that it's perseverance then with step three, or do you think it's a gift to have that kind of, for instance, with you, it seems as though you had a spiritual awakening. All of a sudden you were aware and you could see.
No, I wish it hadn't been like that. I used to pray for that, because I thought that would make it sooner or better or something, but that isn't so. It's just a saying that the book says, man, is the slow progress this daily. The thing about it was this, that my own experiences when I started belonged to me. I recognized them. In other words, I would start the day out, and I had a terrible, terrible time with hostility, anger, people, men around me or anything like that. I didn't tolerate much. I wouldn't take much from you. And I would display it back to you right away. I'd fight you in a minute. And so that was one of the first things that I wanted to get rid of, because the guys I worked with wouldn't trust me. They just wouldn't trust me at all. And I had no friends, and I wasn't a friend to anybody. And the first thing I prayed for, and the first thing I wanted to have changed in me, was to be able to get rid of the anger and hostility for people. I carried a chip on my shoulder all the time. And so I started out just like I was told to do it. Talk to my Heavenly Father about it. So I get up in the morning, I pray to God. And I'd ask him about the hostility, about the anger. And I'd go to work, and I kept him alive by the watch. And the day would end, I don't know how many days it took, but as the days went by, I used to smoke then. I had a Zippo lighter. I used to carry it in my pocket here. And you know how many times a mechanic bends down. Every time I bend down, the damn thing would fall out of my pocket, and I'd put it. See, I ordinarily would have to throw it away or get mad at it or something like that. And I'd display anger again inside, from inside. And so I would put it back in my pocket. And I put it in this pocket, not my pants pocket. So the next time it fell out, I reminded myself to put it back, see. And I wouldn't get mad, because I just got through talking to my father about it, you know. So that's the way I went. And I started going like that, and the next thing you know, these guys that I'm working with said, Anderson, you going to church? And I said, oh. And they said, well, something's happening to you. Then it dawned on me that I wasn't cussing, swearing, mad, visibly mad at things, slamming things, cussing things, impatient, intolerant. You know, I would have to show you how mad I was, see, by doing something. Well, I wasn't doing that no more. And I recognized that only because I asked God to help me with it. See? And that was an experience that I took to myself. You know, because you didn't give it to me, and you didn't give it to me. And all I did was ask God for it, and he said, you can have it. And how he does it to me, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know that I was banking on his power to take it from me. See? As soon as I recognized that it was leaving me, I got closer to him. I talked to him about other things. I even talked about my dogs. I used to raise Dobermans for show, for confirmation. And I had one who was supposed to, she was a bitch, and she was supposed to be I wanted to make a flyer out of her, make her a champ in three shows. And as soon as she got on concrete, her front feet splayed out. So I prayed to God, boy, I prayed to him, I prayed to him about this little bitch. I've got to make her a champion. Would you help her with her feet? You know, we'll do. And I got a bicycle and I run down the street on a bicycle and everything else, praying to God for her feet and all. Her feet didn't get any better, but I got closer to God. I got to talk to God more. I got to pray to God, learned how to pray to God for other things. It's the truth. You know, it's a real truth. It happened. You know. But the thing about it, what made it happen, was only because I tried it with God and then I acknowledged it and stayed with Him.
Did you have any preconceived ideas about working there?
Oh. Never looked that direction, never heard, never thought of it.
That makes sense.
Now that's why today, you know, even today for anybody, hell, I've seen so many guys and girls that haven't got any idea at all what I'm talking about as far as prayers, any words like I was. I got my words from another alcoholic. He told me what he said. He told me what he did. And I tried it. And I asked these guys at the Friday night meeting up there in San Fernando. They said, what are the words you use? What do you say to them? When do you say it? Tell me the words. Don't tell me you pray. I know you pray. What are the words? What do you call him? I'd talk to another guy, same thing to him. Just like, what would you say to somebody that asked you that? They said exactly what they were supposed to say, what they did. So as I found out what it was, I did it. That's all. That was my beginning. So step three, to have a power in your life so that you, as an alcoholic, can go ahead with the program of recovery, which is 12 steps. You can't do it alone. I tried. You can't do it. You can't do it with any success. I say it's over 2.5 years. But I was sober during that 2.5 years. I was living. I was seeing things just like I used to see them. I was experiencing all the same thoughts and everything else. But I was sober. I'd say I was sober today. That was a good deal. You know, it wasn't a good deal. I've seen other guys and girls take their lives because they didn't see anything that was good enough to see.
I ran into a lot of frustration. You and I talked a while back before this thing ever started, and I tried that looking at my watch and stuff. And at that point in time, I guess in my sobriety, this was a couple years ago, I was looking for the results the way I saw them. It was like in a job situation or. If I wanted something, that would be the end result. So I would, you know, talk to God about that. But I would put, I'll get an answer from God when I get what I want. That's His answer. And I was saying to myself what His answer was going to be instead of allowing it to happen. And I always thought that, you know, after 2.5 years with you, all of a sudden you woke up one morning and it's been great ever since. I know you've gone through problems and stuff, but nothing to, that you had that instant contact with God and never lost it. And that's why I've had a hard time identifying with the God situation, because it hasn't worked like that for me at all. It's been, it's better than it's ever been, but it's been real slow. And sometimes I've had to throw out everything that I've learned because it's not working. And so for me to find that one thing, that conception of a power greater than myself, I believe there is one, but nothing's in concrete. I don't have a visual conception of what he looks like or anything like that, and that's not important. I feel that I'm on the right road, however, because things are getting better in my life. There's been changes in my character positively. I thank that power. When good things happen, as well as pray to him when bad things are going on, but I never pray for specifics. I just pray for His will and the power to carry that out, and then turn my will and life over to Him. I guess what I'm trying to find out is, how do you find the conception or whatever that stays with you? Has your conception changed over the 32 years?
God is all, as far as I'm concerned, He's the power that I live by, that I use in my life as a direction, as a force. If in your beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you have not been taught, this is the way I think, if you have not been taught about alcoholism and what it is, if you have not understood exactly what's taken place in your head and your thinking process in your life, why it's governed like that, and what happens to you because you think that way, the way you act and react to situations and all that. If you don't understand that, I think that the steps will not have a great meaning to you. Maybe some of them will, some of them have a bigger impact on you than others. The reason why is because your head, you're allowing your head to tell you things, and you're basing your life by that knowledge, by that power. It's like me saying, experience taught me that if I work on a car, let's say a clutch, you know, because this is the way you do it. I did it yesterday like this, and now I'm going to do that again today because it's going to, that's from experience, it says that it's going to be all right. Maybe it ain't. Maybe they've done something different this time. Maybe they drill it and put a dowel hole in there so that, for a guide pin. And if I try to put it in like I did yesterday, I missed that. If I put it in when missing that, it ain't going to work. That's because I'm living and using my head and the knowledge that's in there to guide and direct me today from, that's my power. That's my understanding of a force, of living a life, you know. I can't do that. What fit yesterday's program, regardless of what it was, it's fine for that day. This day, I'm going to have to start it new by the power again, by the same God, but it's going to be brand new because I don't know what He wants. I don't know what He says. I don't know where He's going to take me. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. I have to go there first. Go there means only in my head. When I wake up, I introduce myself again to God. We got another day going. I'm with you. So I have to bank on that, of what I'm going to do today as the day goes. Not because the day starts out at 7 o'clock. It might start out at 11. I don't know what time it's going to start out. And I don't know where I'm going to go. I really don't. I'm supposed to go downtown tomorrow, but I don't know if I'm going to get there. I'll get there when I get there. And then I know I belong there because I'm where God wants me to be. I'm always there. Understand what I'm trying to say now? The force, the ideas, what I'm doing and how I'm living today is strictly because of a power that I'm using for me to live by. Not by my power. Not because I want to go to the picture show or something like that because it's a good idea and they got a good film there. Maybe I can go there, but if I do, I'll get there. When I'm there, I'm right. I don't have to use me as the main man for everything. See, what you're doing, I know what you're doing, but I can't tell you what's wrong with it because it's not wrong for me. See, it's wrong for you if you say it's wrong. To change would mean that you would have to say to God, what is it that you want me to do today? And then trust that He's going to give you the power and take you that direction if you're looking and thinking and using His power. Quit playing the role, see? Quit being the main man. Quit putting your two bits in it. This is a hard thing to understand in the beginning, but it's not hard when you're on your way, because all things are yours then. All the power is yours to do these things.
Yeah, because I get... It's not that... I find myself in a lot of confusion, like you were talking about. Because I'll get up in the morning and I'll do the third step prayer or whatever and say to, you know, go with God and be with God. Or have Him direct me in this day. And then all of a sudden... 2 hours into the day, I'm not sure really what I'm supposed to do.
In the beginning, here's the way I was taught. I was taught that everything has priorities. First things first. The first thing that, like, my sponsor put me in the hospital. After the hospital, he got my wife back, got my job back, got my bills paid. Then my wife was sick. I had to come out here because of her health and so on like that. So all things were worked on with a priority rating for me. So that even today, it's the same way. I don't have to look at it so severe today. I don't have to itemize them and list them like that because it isn't necessary to do that today. It was then because I was trying to look at the whole picture. I was trying to look at my life as a whole picture, as all of the tomorrows and all of the yesterdays and all of this day today, and then I was going to try to act on it. Same as contracting business, same as mechanics. Then I can't fix all of them cars and want all of them. Hell, there's about 40 trucks down there, maybe 20 cars. And I can't fix 40 trucks and 20 cars a day, I know that. But I can work on the ones that are most important, the ones that have to run because they're the ones that deliver the goods, that makes the money. They're the ones that I fix first. The others can wait. And the end of the day comes, I got maybe only one truck fixed. but that truck is fixed and is running and making money. Tomorrow, when he gets here, I'm going to have to look at it again like that. Maybe I get two trucks in tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe a car out of here. So, but I'm not looking at the whole picture. I can't look at it. It's not mine to look at. I don't know how to look at things like that anyway. They right away, they become fears of all types. You know? They just tear you apart. So that's a lesson that I believe you learn in steps. I believe you learn as with a sponsor. I believe you learn through trial error on your part. But if you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length, it's always like that. Always like that. If you want a little bit of sobriety, a little bit of sobriety means to me that you're sober today and you're not in trouble with getting drunk, but you're still not the man you believe you should be or the woman you should be, then you have to go for more. And the way you go for more is you allow God to show you and give you more, direct you more. You stay with Him closer, longer. So the day when it goes through, if you find yourself with a good day today, most of the time you'll find out that you were with God all day long. You did use His force. You did use the power He says it's going to be yours. You didn't push and shove. You didn't make things happen. Things would happen were always the right things. They are for me. I've been real safe for a long time, I know. I was in deep trouble, real bad trouble. Boy knows something. The only thing I had was the faith that God was going to take me through that. I'm going to be all right. That's all I had. I had nothing else. The meetings I didn't have. You I didn't have. Because that's human stuff, and I knew that. If God could and would, if He were sovereign, and He did.
When I heard Chuck C. say, living in total expectation of guidance and direction.
All the time. It's all the time.
That's
but certainly. Just,
you know,
certainly. You know, it's just like this. Here's what happens to you. If you believe in step three, like I'm talking about, and using that. Now, you know, there's so many times I pray to God. It's like a miracle. Not for me now. It's so many times that I pray for someone else, for some reason. Now, you know what? I really expect it to happen. Believe me, I do. But every time it happens, it's just like a new world. It's just like a new happening. It's wonderful. And yet, I knew it was going to